it what we found. It's a big sound in a small town. Far from the bright lights, they're making music every night. Hear what is all around. It's a big sound in a small town. It's a big sound in a small town. It's a big sound in a small town.
Hi, and welcome to Big Sound Small Town. I'm your host, Sandy Carlton, and this is a podcast about the lives and stories of the musicians, writers, artists, and their associates that have their roots in the small towns and communities across America. If you like what you hear, tell somebody. Enjoy.
Rachel Pinson. I am a singer, songwriter, musician from Lawndale, North Carolina. I play violin, piano, mandolin, banjo, guitar, or I try to play guitar anyway.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I take it that you started your music career pretty early then, if you do that.
Yeah, I did. I started classical training when I was 5 on piano.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty young.
And then moved on to violin when I was about 10. But, you know, classical music isn't really big around here.
No, it's not. You know,
I started meeting some bluegrassers.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, learned some of their stuff.
Sure.
Got into the bluegrass community.
Yeah, well, that's good. Now, was that your primary deal, was violin when you...
Yeah.
When you moved into the,
yeah.
away from playing classical, when you moved, violin would have been your instrument of choice, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it still is. Even
right.
though I play all these other instruments, that's my instrument of choice.
That's
my comfort zone. Right?
Well, and that's how I associated with you was
right.
as a fiddle player.
Yeah, that's what I'm known for.
Yeah. And you know, there used to be a lot of fiddle players around here, but there's not as many, so you're kind of a rarity these days.
Yeah, you know, as I was telling you before we started,
right.
I've been between here and Nashville
right.
a bit here lately. You know, out in Nashville, there's a few fiddle players.
Yeah, there
but
are.
But they're few and far between.
There are.
So when I go out there, they work me to death.
I'm sure.
Like, you know, I'm a novelty
right.
out there if you play fiddle or if you play steel guitar.
True, this is true. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
There's actually a boy from here in town who is a fabulous pedal steel guitarist.
Really?
He's young. His name is Silas Hamilton.
Oh,
and
okay.
he is trying to make his way there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you have to go. I mean, if you live here and play pedal steel, you're not going to play much.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to play at all, basically.
Right.
So
yeah.
so he's trying to do that. He's good. But those are, both of them are pretty rare.
Yeah.
However, you realize that female fiddlers are in these days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is everybody wants one, from Jason Isbell, if you know who that is.
Yes.
To, you know, they're just in demand.
Yeah, they are.
And
I mean, they will keep you working. If you play a fiddle, they will.
That's true, you know.
But, you know, that's good, too.
It is good.
Because, you know, it gives us work. That's what we're
wanting. And it encourages young girls to
yes.
to play, you know, and
yeah.
to like a lot of them will be in. This is funny, too. I just did a classically trained violinist who is just going to work on her master's, and she was asking me about, hey, you know a bunch of bluegrassers, don't you? I said, yeah. She said, well, you know, the symphony stuff is kind of, they don't have as many people in the orchestra as they used to.
Right.
So, you know, I might be reconsidering what I'm going to do for my career.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, yeah. So she wants me to introduce her to Mark O'Connor.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mark in a long time. He used to play a good bit with him.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I mean, Mark is Mark's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a nice guy, and his wife's a fabulous violinist also.
Right.
But
yes.
But yeah, I mean that's a good thing. So when you stepped out there to play bluegrass at first, did you have to? I guess you had to learn a lot of tunes, didn't you?
I did, and you know, even to this day. Like, I know bluegrass songs, and I can
right.
play the bluegrass songs, the
right.
notes,
right.
but it doesn't come out sounding like fiddle.
Sure.
You know, it kind of
yes.
has like this Irish sound or something, you know.
Sure.
I have my own style because I did start with classical.
Right.
You know, when you start with that, everything's proper. And
this is true.
You move to something like bluegrass and country, you have...
Yeah, always tough.
It goes against what is
considered. It is. It
right.
is. Yeah, it is. And, one of the good things about having the classical, I fiddle too, but one of the good things about having a classical background is your intonation
mm-hmm.
is good.
Right.
Because I've known a lot of really good fiddlers whose intonation was not that great.
Right.
Tommy Jarrell. I used to go to this guy, Tommy Jarrell, North Carolina fiddle legend. I used to go to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was world famous, and people would come from all over to hear him, and his intonation was terrible. You know, if you were there and you were in tune, it didn't really sound right.
Right.
Everything was sharp or flat a little bit.
Yep.
And so, and he played in a open tuning also.
Right.
So, but intonation is just about everything to a violinist or a fiddler.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I remember practicing blindfolded.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And then I also remember watching a tuner. That way every note, it had to be right.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And, you know, unless you're playing old time string music, then you can play sharp and flat doing that stuff. You go to Galax and play sharp and flat all day long.
Right. Exactly. And that stuff just, there's a place for it.
There is a place for it.
But it drives me crazy.
I'm sure people, well, intonation drives me crazy anyway.
Right.
Just a little bit out of tune, mm-hmm. or a little bit sharp or flat drives me crazy too. I do understand that. It's some people it doesn't bother.
Right.
I went to play with Doc Watson one time in a group jam.
Mm-hmm.
This was before days of tuners. So I sit down with everybody to play, and Doc says, "Well, before we start, somebody's about a half a cent off." And everybody's looking at everybody, and I'm thinking, well, it's me because I'm the new guy. I'm the first, my first time here, so it's probably me. And he said, "Oh, don't worry. It's bluegrass. It's jamming. Don't worry about it." You know?
Yeah.
But you know.
Speaking of Doc Watson, here's a cool little story. Doc Watson is the first person I ever went on stage with.
And really?
I wasn't supposed to be on stage. I was 2 years old, and I got away from my mama. And I got up on stage with Doc Watson. And when he found out that I was up there, he's like, "No, let her stay up here," and he let me sing Jesus Loves Me. So that
really?
Was my first performance with
that
Doc Watson.
Too cool. Can you even remember it?
I don't remember it. Yep. I don't, but, you know, I grew up around Doc, and he would talk about that all the time.
That's so great. I mean,
so that was my first performance right there.
Hey, I'm starting at the top, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. So you told me you came from a music family. I guess they all played, right?
Not all of them. I mean, there's six kids.
Oh, okay.
But only two of us play. My brother, Jared, he plays guitar. And my dad plays.
Yeah. So growing up, did y'all play together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess a lot of playing and singing around the house.
A lot. And we traveled a lot.
Oh.
We played, you know, all the big festivals. So
you had a family band.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
we did.
Okay.
And, I mean, we played all over. And
was that fun?
It was sometimes, you know, but we did a lot of radio shows,
right,
and like hometown operas, and those were rough because you get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and you go and but I got to experience a lot
at a young age.
Yeah, and I don't regret any of it.
And I guess that set you on your path, really, didn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess at some point you decided this is what I'm going to do.
I think I've always known this is what I'm going to do.
That's good. No, that's good.
But, you know, traveling like that and playing, like, it really opened up a lot of doors for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
I had a lot of opportunities that a lot of musicians don't get.
True.
And, you know, I'm thankful that my parents were supportive. And
right. Oh, I think parental support is musically really key. Because a lot of people don't have it. You know, well, yeah, that's pretty good, but what are you going to do for a living? Or, you know, what are you going to do when you grow up?
Right.
Well, I'm going to continue doing this, you know?
Right. And for me, you know, they never asked me, you know, like, what are you going to do? You need something to fall back on.
Right.
Because I've seen a lot
people
of my friends.
Oh, I know. They say that all the time.
But, you know, my parents, it was just like, look, if this is what you want to do, you got to do this. You got to keep pushing. You can't.
That's so lucky,
though.
You
know?
Yeah, and that's really lucky to have that support, because so many people don't, particularly in the music business.
It was aggravating as a teenager because, you know, I was in that scene. I wanted to do other things.
Right.
But I'm glad now when I look back, because they kept pushing me.
At some age when you were playing as a child with a family band, did you ever think, I got other stuff I want to do?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally. But, I mean, I always knew music. That's it.
Yeah, that's good.
But, you know, I had other interests that I wanted to do. You know, it's like I wanted to go hang out with my friends, but I couldn't because I had band rehearsal. Or I couldn't because it's a weekend and, you know, we've got like four shows. So.
And I guess you learned early on all the stuff and problems and good and bad stuff that comes with bands.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, because bands aren't easy. If they're family bands, even if they're those might even be harder than
you know what, family bands they stay together more often but they fight more.
Probably
found
do.
That out. And not, you know, not just playing with my family, but one of the first bands I ever played with was the Golden Valley Crusaders.
Yeah.
And I was about 12 years old, I think.
Oh yeah.
And that's a family band, and I was the outsider.
Oh.
You know, I lasted 9 months, and I love them. I really do. I'm but it was like, and after I played with them and I started playing with my family full time, it was like, oh, okay, I understand what they were dealing
with. Understand?
Now.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I get it.
I seen this already.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So that's, you know, that's really good. So at some point, I guess you decided that, or did your family just decide not to play together anymore, or did you leave them?
No, I did this really stupid thing, and I got married.
Yeah, that happens. let me tell you.
So that kind of put a stop to the music for about 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, started having babies.
Yeah, that'll mess things up, too.
So, you know, I was about 24, I had all my kids by then.
Right.
And I wanted to get back into playing music, but my grandmother... She lives in West Virginia. She's in her 80s. And she really needs somebody to look after. So my parents, they moved. And my brother was still like 16, 17 at the time. So he had to go too.
Yeah.
So that just kind of split us up.
Right.
And, you know, I went through a really dark time.
Right.
Like
everybody does.
Because I had always played with my brother. And the kind of music we played was very, we did a lot of jazz and swing at that point. And nobody can play like my brother. I mean, I'm going to be biased.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody can play like him.
And it's who you've been used to playing with for a long time.
I felt like, yeah, I can go jam with these bluegrass bands or whatever, but it's not my thing, really, and nobody can really play my music.
Right.
So I just kind of sat at home and started writing. And then
is that when you got into songwriting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I had wrote songs before, but most of what I wrote before, it was ghostwriting for other people.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I started writing stuff for myself.
Because I guess you would consider yourself first and foremost a player as opposed to a writer.
Right. Yeah. I've always focused on, you know, violin.
Right.
Now instrumental pieces.
Yeah.
You know, on violin, yes, but then I started playing other genres like rock and country, and started meeting different musicians outside of the bluegrass community. And I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe I can find somebody that
works.
Can play.
Yeah.
And I even got into the metal community, which I don't play a lot of metal or anything, but I have a lot of metal friends.
Sure.
And at one time, my whole band was a bunch of metalheads. They didn't play metal with me,
but
they were metalheads.
Sure.
So, and it just kind of evolved from there.
You found some people from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. You know, one time I was working on a record, and I said, hey, Pete, you know, you told me that girl Rachel that plays with you, you know, I need a fiddle player. What's she doing? He said, oh, she's having babies. Don't even call her.
Yeah.
He said,
well, he didn't lie.
He said, she's off having, but I don't even think she plays anymore. Daggum it. So it's a small world how it comes back around, you know.
Yeah.
Pete's had a number of people come through him. And
I
guess you and I did like that. We were in between things when we played with Pete.
Oh, yeah.
And you were probably young, too, still then.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so. Like I said, like, I've known Pete since I was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
He knew me before I started playing violin.
Yeah, Pete, he's a good old guy.
Yeah, I love Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, Pete. I've talked to him on the phone, but I haven't seen Pete in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was a betting person, I think they're going to have their last jam on the square here Saturday.
Right.
I'll bet you Pete will be up here.
Oh, he might be up here.
Because
I don't know.
I don't know if he's got a band right now or not.
I'm not really sure.
I'm not really sure either. So, let's talk about what you're doing currently.
I'm running myself to death. That's what I'm doing. I've been traveling a lot.
Oh, but okay, let's back it up a minute. Let's back it up. Now you're out on your own.
I am, yeah.
So I guess you're traveling under your own name.
Yes.
You don't have a band.
Yeah, I have a band.
You have a band, but right. but they're your backup band.
Right.
You're traveling under you, not as a band.
Right.
Okay. That's good. Go ahead, tell us about that.
Well, we've got to play local more than I have ever been able to play local because, you know, I've always had to go off. I've always had a problem getting booked around here.
Right.
But I guess COVID kind of
It changed everything for musicians.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. So, but we're, you know, I still travel.
Right.
To play and we got two shows coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
And, we're staying really busy.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, but, you know, I've got some great band members. Great.
Are they local people?
Yes, they're from Moss Lake and Kings Mountain area.
Do you want to plug them? You want to?
Absolutely. Okay. My bass player, Dusty Birchfield.
Okay.
And my drummer is Lyndon Cook. I think he used to play with Marshall Tucker, and you know they've played with everybody. But and my keyboard player, which he's had to take a break, but we're hoping that he'll be able to come back. You know, due to his health, it's kind of up in the air. But his name is Braxton Oakenshield.
Okay.
And like a part-time guitar player that we have, he's not full-time, but it's Eric Woodrum. You know, he has his metal band too.
So, okay. Now with that, tell them what kind of music you're playing.
We are multi-genre. So, you know, we're all over the board. We do anything from like Loretta Lynn to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, you know, that's cool.
I mean, we're doing like some Eddie Money and some Brian Adams. We're even working on some Def Leppard, but we still do our Loretta Lynn and Fleetwood Mac.
That's good then. That's so.
Yeah.
So it's a variety.
It is. It is.
And I guess that does make it easier to work.
Yeah, you know, like the show we're playing tomorrow, they like a lot more country, I guess.
So you have to do.
So we can kind of
you can taper your show though, which is for a crowd, which is good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
We have multi-genre that kind of, you know, opens up a few more doors.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it does make it easier to work.
Yeah.
So that being said, is there a recording in the future?
Well, in the future, yes. Yes. I mean, we're working on a lot of stuff. And this band, we've only been together as this band for about a year.
Okay.
Well, it'll be a year in October.
Okay.
So, you know, we've been, you know, trying to get everything, get all of our ducks in a row.
Well, I was wondering if you were going to pursue recording some of your original stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
I figured that was probably in the back of your mind.
Oh yeah, we definitely want to get those originals recorded and
get them
out there.
What else we need to know?
Oh, I don't know. I'm working with a band out of Nashville right now, which we're going under my name out there too.
Oh, that's good.
So it's not an actual band name, but so I'll be between here and there.
Right. You got work that you do out there. I guess you go out there and get to do some studio work. So
yes, and you know I get to play a lot of the kind of popular places out there, which is really cool.
It is really cool. It is.
I'm going to be doing some work for the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
Which you know I can't talk about that too much right yet because it's going to be later on.
I do understand.
Aired.
Yeah.
But I'm going out there next week on that. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. That is really exciting. See, there is more stuff we need to know. Locally, if someone needs fiddle work, you available if you're here?
I am. You know, if I'm not booked for my own stuff.
Good.
I'm down to play with pretty much anybody.
Okay.
And I am looking for a guitar player, a full-time guitar player, if anybody is out there.
There you go. Yeah, you heard that right here. There's a few of them around.
Yeah, there's a few of them around. It's just finding one that
serious. Finding one that's serious and find one that fits in with everybody. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the keys to playing on the road and playing with people is, yeah, there's a lot of good players, but it comes down to how well you work and get along with the people you play with.
Definitely. I mean, we've had a few come and try out, and you know, they can be great guitar players, but if they're not serious about it,
I agree.
I try to tell them, look, we are a working band.
We're working.
Doing things now.
Yep. We're going. Our livelihood depends on this. You know,
right? Exactly.
So you know, it's not like we'll.
It's not a hobby.
Exactly. It's not a hobby. I'm not a weekend player.
Right.
I mean, I might play on the weekends because that's where you have to play, but I also play on Monday if somebody wants me to.
Yeah, I mean, you got to work on the stuff all throughout the week. I mean, every day I'm working on something, whether it's answering emails, working on...
I guess you're your own booking agent.
No, I'm with...
That's great.
I'm with an agency out of Canada, actually, called LCA. And I have a band manager. She helps me with a lot of stuff. But, you know, we all have to work together as a team to make it work. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that because that's one of the things I have a hard time getting young working musicians to understand is you can book yourself locally a bit.
If
you want to play, if you want to play better shows, you better find you a booking agent and probably a manager of some type.
Yeah, and you know, yes, you do have to pay them percentages.
You do.
But you have to think about it. The more that they get for you, the more they make. So they are going to work for you.
Sure, they are. And that's a good thing. I mean, and I think we talked earlier about how it's easy for, without those people, to have to compete with a band that does it on the weekend and are willing to play for nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you. I was 15 years old. I remember this so well because we were playing for the North Carolina Thumb Pickers Association in, I'm wanting to say Statesville, somewhere. Anyway, the Kruger brothers were out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up around them as well because of Doc Watson.
Right.
And, you know, Jens was one of the banjo teachers.
Yeah.
But Uwe Kruger, he sat me down. He's like, we need to talk. He's like, you know, you've been coming playing these festivals and everything, and you're playing for free.
Exactly.
He said, is that what you think you're worth?
Yeah.
He said, if you don't stop and put a price on it, he said, that's all you'll ever be worth.
He's right.
You have to put value on yourself. And, you know, ever since then, I have not played for free. I mean, I'll do a benefit
now and then. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I do.
Because he's right.
Yeah, he's right.
If you don't put that value on yourself, that, you know.
And if you do not put the right value on it, then you won't play for enough either. You know, so you have
exactly.
to. You know,
and then, you know, another thing that really hurts us is we have these really good bands, and you know they're not really known,
right?
But they're really good, and then they'll get a show.
Oh,
they'll play it for free. Why is a venue going to pay me to come and play if they can get these guys that are just as good, if not better, for nothing?
I totally agree. You know, I just
like, come on, guys, you guys. help us out here.
Oh, you do. You know, and that's you have to do that. I mean, because and that's why music prices are still where they are for working musicians, as opposed to, and even really after everything's stripped down, even from the big artist, they're still not making what they should and what they used to make.
Right.
I mean, you know.
They don't make what you think they would.
No, and royalty checks. I can speak from experience. They are totally different than they used to be. Yeah. They get them for like 17 cents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean.
From down
and
internet
now,
play.
You know, you can't really sell albums.
No, you can't.
Because you've got iTunes and Spotify.
You can't even sell your CDs at your show.
I know.
I mean, it's
so that's why people, like bands, are moving on to like T-shirts or
sure.
Or something.
I mean
like
merchandise is where you got to make that with.
You have to make up.
And you have to work hard on your T-shirt to make people want to buy it, as opposed to, used to you could put your name, put it out there, and when they bought the CD, they'd get the shirt. Now they're like, oh, man, I got to pay at least $20 for this, and I need a good-looking shirt.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Because, I mean, the way that prices are to have shirts made, it's like you can't sell them for less than 20.
Right, you can't. So it is hard to work as a musician these days.
It is. We don't make minimum wage.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
We don't.
Oh, and you never do for the amount of time you put in.
And that's why I was talking to my manager just yesterday, and she said, you know, these venues, they want you to come play 3-4 hours, and that's all they're paying for. She's like, you got to think.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to load up. You got to set up. Then you got to play.
Sure. Well,
then you got to tear down and load back up.
You know, what I tell everybody is when they ask, well, how come you guys get that much? Well, here's the deal. We're playing for you for free. Mm-hmm. It's all the other stuff that's got to go with it.
Right.
And then there's that other side. You know, a musician's the only person that'll put $10,000 worth of equipment in a $100 car and drive 5 hours to make $40. I mean, you know.
And there's so much truth to that.
There is. I mean.
You would not believe how much equipment four people use.
Equipment is smaller these days and better than it used to be.
It is.
But it is still a lot of stuff to carry.
It is. And then, you know, it's.
And not every place you go. I mean, one of the things when I book, I always look for is, you know, do you have a sound system? You know,
right.
I like to know that stuff rather so I don't have to carry it. And as a bass player now, I've moved my stuff from huge equipment to much smaller equipment that it sounds as good as it is.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Good, but I had to upgrade, you know?
Yeah.
I mean
you got to upgrade either way.
Either way.
And
I mean,
so that's,
sure.
You're just pouring money into this constantly.
Yeah.
So.
You have to do it for the love of it.
You do.
Anybody that thinks they're going to get rich or doing it for any other reason than just the love of the music, you're going to be badly disappointed and probably quit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to be passionate about
it.
musicians, you know this. We are a strange bunch.
Oh, Lord. You know, I hear people talk about people being quirky, and I'm thinking to myself, you don't know a musician. You know? I've been around some strange people. Oh, let me tell you. You just don't even know. So, you know, it's.
Nick, I was telling you earlier, my mom, she said it takes a special person, you know, to live with musicians or
sure
to marry a musician.
Oh,
and
it
she
does.
Had three of us. She had my dad, she had me, and my brother. And then my poor siblings had to deal with it, too.
Oh, yeah. And of course, you're both the better known of everybody in the family, but you're also the ones that are probably the quirkiest in the family too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Know? I have a brother that's a musician too, and you know, we had a strange childhood. You know, so and it's hard for parents, it's hard for spouses. Terrible for relationships.
Yeah. You know, relationships are about impossible.
They are.
A musician.
They are.
Or a working musician.
I agree. I mean, it is, because it's a little easier if you have a musician partner. To a degree.
In a way, it is. Yeah, I've been on both sides of the fence there. And in a way it is, but now when you're talking about, I work, I'm a working musician,
right.
I travel, and you're with somebody who's doing that too.
Sure, you are.
You know.
Oh, yeah, there's that's 24/7 too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no, it only works if you have separate careers.
Right.
I mean.
You know, and you know, but even when it's separate, you know, there's not really a whole lot of time and you
no,
try
there's
to make
not.
It work. And
you're not.
It's just, it's really tough.
It is really
and
tough.
And it can be a lonely.
Oh, it is.
Lonely
and
life.
One of the, you're either in a rush to get somewhere or you're sitting waiting with nothing to do while you're, while.
Yeah, it's hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait.
It is hurry up and wait. That's
yep.
what it is. And I guess it's an excuse, but I've used it all my life as a musician. Musicians get in trouble because they have too much downtime mm-hmm. on their hands.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, you know.
And you know, it's stressful.
It is stressful.
It's
it
stressful
is.
Because, you know, you're always running into problems.
You are.
Whether it's, you know, if you're traveling a lot, you got car issues.
You got car issues.
You know?
Or you got an instrument problem.
Right.
You got an amp that's not working.
Right.
And I got to get it fixed, and I'm in nowhere,
I mean,
North Carolina.
Oh, my goodness. Like, this past Saturday, we run our sound off of an iPad.
Right.
Well, we lost our iPad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we got to figure out what to do
sure.
there. So we finally, we got it, you know, and my bass player got it on his phone, so he
right.
was able to do it.
Yeah.
But then we get out there and we start setting up, and he looks at me, he says, we have no mic cables.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a snowball effect that night. It was like, oh. If it could go wrong, it went
if
wrong.
If you get to a place, oh, don't worry, man, I got a back line for you. You know, so you get oh. there, and you look at that amp, or, and you go,
no.
What? No, that won't
that's
work.
Like, whenever we talk to a venue, you know, if it's close
right.
by or whatever, and they say, oh, we have a sound system, my bass player always goes and checks it out.
Yeah. Before. Oh, yeah.
And then he'll tell me, okay, this is what we need, or no,
sure.
we're taking our own.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, I do. And people don't realize those problems, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you get there, and or if you go out for a number of days, guess what? My clothes are all dirty, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I got to play again tonight in a dirty shirt, or the same shirt I
yeah.
played in for three nights in a row. Well, thankfully, we're not in the same town, you know?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, it's always something. It's a very stressful,
something.
Stressful lifestyle.
It
but,
is. It
know?
Is. Oh, and plus, one of the things nobody ever brings up is, you can't eat right.
No, you cannot. You got to eat what you can when you can.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
there's
mean,
not going to be a schedule.
No.
There's not going to be an eating schedule. There's not going to be a sleep schedule.
No.
Yeah.
And you're not probably going to get enough sleep either.
Oh, you're not. You're
no.
not. And then when you throw family and kids and stuff
oh,
on top
yeah,
of everything
yeah.
else, no, you can forget sleeping.
Yep, I agree.
You know, catch you a little cat nap here and there, and that's...
Yep, I used to pride myself in being able to fall asleep anywhere, almost standing up, you know?
Right.
I mean, because it's what you could get.
You know, and I have such trouble sleeping anyway, because when I lay down, that's when I start getting song ideas.
Yeah, that happens
and,
too.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I heard the song on the radio today. That'd be a
good
song
to
work
cover.
Up.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
That's when it hits me.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah,
next
I know.
Next thing you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and
yeah.
it's time to get the kids to school.
Yeah, I do know that. You know, I do. It's really hard.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not a lifestyle for everyone.
That's not for the faint of heart, that's for
right.
sure.
It's not for everyone.
No, it's not for everyone. In fact, it's not really for that many if you think about it.
It's
and,
not.
And I think that's the reason a lot of people start it and go, I
know a lot of musicians that really thought they wanted to do
yeah.
it, and now they're doing it as a hobby. They
sure.
sit at home, and that's fine.
It is
but
fine.
But it's like, nope, you know, we can't
do
this.
No, we can't do this.
You're always going to be broke.
You are. And the other part of it is, with each passing year, it gets harder harder to do.
And then when COVID hit us.
Oh, yeah, it just knocks it all out. I mean, you're.
I mean, we didn't play.
Yeah.
I played one show.
Sure.
In 2020.
Yeah.
One show. And I'm used to playing at least
I do.
You know, 1, 2, sometimes 3 shows a
sure.
weekend.
Yeah. And then you're there. And that was hard on all musicians.
And everything shut
that
down.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are off the road. A lot of people still hadn't returned. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of them who had, the people who really got kind of stuck is, say you had a new record.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go out and promote it. I mean, last year, if you had one come out, there it is. It's out there. I hope you like listening to it because you can't
That's
see me do
really
it.
That's really how
you
know? It is. I mean, thankfully we have social media.
True,
stuff.
And it is. That is a good thing.
Yeah, that's really helped musicians.
It has, you know, and a lot of people have done the Zoom thing.
Yeah, and a lot of people were going live and putting virtual tip
True.
Jars.
Yeah, they are, and some helps. It helps. You're not going to get rich.
No, but it helps.
And yeah, it helped. And but now there again, that's another thing too. Sometimes the online performances are good. Mm-hmm. Other times they freeze up. It just all depends on Wi-Fi.
Well,
and
during quarantine, everybody was going live.
True.
So you scroll through, it's like, okay, you listen to that one for a few seconds, you listen to the next
exactly.
few seconds. Like, you don't really stop and focus on one, and that was our problem. Like, nobody was really stopping and focusing.
Sure.
Because there's
so many choices.
Yeah, they could listen to anybody they wanted
sure,
to
they could.
At that point.
And at that point, they could listen to big acts.
Yeah.
I mean, really big acts.
Yep.
And
like everybody was going live because there was nothing else for us to do.
Yeah.
They even came close to, like, shows.
Oh, no, nothing. I mean, you couldn't even... If you wanted to go pick for fun, you couldn't go pick
no,
for fun.
You
I mean,
couldn't.
You couldn't even. We couldn't even get our band together to practice or anything.
And see, now I was able to continue practicing with my band.
That's good.
You know, but we've all been sick. We've all had COVID.
Yeah. So, well, that's another thing too. I mean,
it's like
you know, I'm worried too. This as we talk and speak today. How long are we getting ready to close back down again?
Yeah, and that's been a fear.
And a lot of clubs are not letting you in if you're not fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's a way for them to stay open. But, I mean, it's scary that we might be right back there by wintertime again.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot of us musicians, like, nervous.
Yeah, it does.
We're on edge because...
Yeah. You're wondering, you know, and it's like, oh, can I pick up three or four more shows before
right.
this happens, you know?
So, you know, now we're cramming. We're trying to get all we can.
All you can before it.
Before this happens.
Sure.
And it's like cutthroat.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
everybody wants it.
Everybody else is.
They'll do whatever they
and,
can.
And you lost so many venues during that time, too, that you used to play at. They just went out of business, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and
there
then,
was so many that closed down.
Oh, yeah. And it's like. Well, there goes part of the places you used to work too,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
So,
you
know, and
rough.
Some of them, you don't have the crowds that you used to have.
No.
You know?
People are afraid to come out.
They are afraid.
Yeah.
And even if they do, a lot of them are still socially distanced or outside. I know, like the Gray Eagles playing them outside instead of in and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, it's
yeah, and putting things outside right now has been miserable.
Oh,
you
it's
know, it's
totally
the hottest
miserable.
Part of the year.
Oh yeah.
So people don't really want to sit outside in the heat. Get
no, they don't.
Eat up by mosquitoes.
No, they don't.
They're just like, oh, we'll sit.
And
home.
I don't like to play outside during this time of year.
Oh, I hate playing
strings.
Outside.
Strings are out of tune the whole time.
You got to change strings every time you play.
You do, and they're still. You know, I'm tuning constantly.
Yeah.
Know? Even
and,
the bass.
And
I'm
my
tuning.
Violin, like my
oh,
violin,
yeah, violins
is
are
so
touchy. Yeah, they're
touchy.
So, yeah.
It's so touchy, and I'm so picky about it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that violin is worth more than my car.
I do understand.
So
yes, I
it's like, I don't want it
yeah.
outside
I
in
agree.
The humidity and stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's I don't think you're encouraging people to be musicians.
Well, you know, this is the ugly truth.
It is the ugly truth. And well, the thing is, too, ones that really want to do it, this probably makes them want to do it more.
Probably.
You know, I mean, you either...
But, you know, it's probably good that we're open about this.
True,
because
it is.
If someone, especially the younger ones that are getting into it and... This is what you have to look at.
And all they see is the glamorous part.
Right. It's not glamorous. I'm gonna
it's
tell you,
not
it's
glamorous.
Not glamorous
no.
at all. I want to tell you, a lot of times you don't even have a bathroom or anything to change in. You've
right.
got to change your clothes in the car
yeah,
going
do.
Down the road.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, it's...
And you know, it's... sure, it is magic when you get to play music
yeah.
in its own stage. That part is pretty magic.
And that's
but that's a small part.
That's
of
it. A small part, but you know, that's what makes it.
It is. It is
that, and then when you get that crowd, that's just
yeah.
You know, that energy, like that's what makes it all worth it.
It is. That's why you do it. It's for that.
Yeah.
You put up with a lot of miserable stuff for that one little bit of piece of time.
And that makes it all better.
It does. I agree. Totally. Totally.
It makes it all better.
It does. I agree. And then you realize, oh, and I got paid to do that too. You know?
Yeah.
So something which you can't really, well, nobody that's listening to this podcast, it won't make a difference. But yeah, we do this stuff for free, but it's really cool that we can make money doing it. You know?
It is. It is, and you don't make a lot, but you know, if you can keep gas in your car and you can buy you something to eat, then you're doing good.
I agree.
Like, yeah, you're doing good. If you're not paying to play, if you're not losing money, then you are being
successful. Some places, and there are places around the United States to where bands have to pay to play.
Yeah, and that's just, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong, totally wrong.
That's wrong. But, you know, if someone, and I've told musicians this before, they think they're not being successful. I'm like, okay, do you have gas in your car?
Yeah.
You know, did you have to pay to play?
Exactly.
You know, did you break even or did you? And if you've got gas in your car and you've got food, you know what? You're successful.
Yeah, you are. Well, if you can keep doing it, as long as you can keep doing it, you're successful.
Exactly.
You know?
If you're not paying out and just...
And just losing money totally hand over fist.
I mean, you have to just step back and think, okay, what is your definition of success?
Sure.
When it comes to this, because what's the odds of everybody becoming big stars?
Yeah, it's not. And that's the deal, too, that at some point you got to realize this. I want to do this for a living. There's a lot of other jobs you can do and still be broke and poor, you know? So I'm going to be broke and poor doing something that I like.
Right.
As opposed to being broke and poor and doing
miserable.
Something I don't like.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And, I mean, some people, I choose to be a musician, as opposed to I choose to work in a restaurant, mm-hmm. you know, or I choose to do this. Well, most people in the world aren't going to be rich and successful. So if you're not going to be rich and successful, you may as well do something you like.
You may as well be happy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or as happy as you can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this end has been very enlightening for people, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Well, I do thank you taking time out of your busy schedule to come do this.
I appreciate you having me.
All right. Thank you.
Nice and vicious. without you.